Today, as we come in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, because I want to share a message with you that is entitled, The Gift That Changes Us. There's so much that happens in this world that changes who we are and their circumstances, everything in life that comes at us from a negative sense. But I want us to think of things on the sense of Christmas and just what God brings to us and how we can receive that. So I do thank each and every one of you for tuning in today, because in this day when things can seem in despair, this day we have every reason to celebrate. Can I get an amen? Because it is Christ's birthday, the day we celebrate His love. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel with me. We're going to begin there. The book of Ezekiel. We've been studying this book, and it's my prayer that as we continue through it, we're going to see a bunch of what is happening in our world and getting ready to happen. But in the book of Ezekiel, we're going to be in verse 26, in chapter 36, 36 and 26, that's where we're going to begin. God tells us that He gives us a gift that is going to change us, because it changes our outlook, it changes our position in life. I'm going to read to you four scriptures out of the Old and then into the New Testament. The last three are in the New Testament. But this first one comes to us from the book of Ezekiel. And again, it is prophecy of what is yet to come, and it is yet here for those of us who have chosen to accept that free gift of Jesus Christ. From the 26th verse in the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we read these words. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God. When we read those words, we see that when we receive the gift of Jesus Christ, it's not just receiving Christ, but it's receiving a new heart. It is receiving a change from the old, which was hard and in this world and looking to self more so than anything else. And we are given a heart of flesh. Now, oftentimes in the scripture, when it talks about flesh, that's a bad thing, isn't it? But here, God is talking about His flesh, the flesh of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to understand. He's talking about giving us that new heart, a heart of caring, a heart of giving, a heart of desiring that which is good and right. And in the pursuit thereof is joy. Because the joy that set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame. So too must we look at life in that way, that it's not about what's happening to us here and now, but it is what is yet coming for all of those who would receive. Do any of you have any idea, any of you out there have any idea how many people you have affected just by being in Christ and living that life in this world? When we get to heaven, we're going to be introduced to people, or they're going to introduce themselves to us, and we're going to find out that just because the way we walked here on this earth, they came to know Christ because of an example that you had no idea. And heaven's going to be full of those people. And I know there are many in my life. And it amazes me, because I think about some of these people. I used to have a barber that cut my hair. And, you know, this is going to sound strange to some of you, but he was a good Catholic man. But he loved the Lord. And his life example. Am I a Catholic? No, I'm a Christian. Okay? But he lived his Christian life in the Catholic faith. And I have no problem with that. Absolutely none. Why? Because he believed in Jesus Christ, he accepted the Holy Spirit, and he proclaimed the Word of God in his barber chair, of all places, to go to church. and he lived it in his life. That's what I'm talking about. God changes our heart. We become a different individual. Our second scripture is in 2 Corinthians. Please turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's just one verse. It's verse 17. And this is one that we all know. We have spoken it many times. And it tells us here from the 17th verse, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." When we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, what happens to us? How many of us have a new outlook on life? Where all of a sudden the things that used to get us down, they don't get us down quite as far anymore. And as we grow in Christ, they don't get us down at all. We literally look at them and turn and kind of chuckle to ourselves because we know our eternity is sure. I've talked to so many different people, and many of them, you are right here right now in my congregation. But I also have talked to many out there in the world, and I'm talking to you even now as you're listening to this. When we come to Christ Jesus, something happens. And in that something that happens, we are changed. And all of a sudden, we're no longer the same. We can't be the same because we have a new outlook. That outlook is not of this temporal world, but it is otherworldly. It's eternal. And we see ourselves living forever. You know, how many times have you heard pastors say, "Hey, I'm ready to go now"? How many people in this world would be willing to make that statement? I can remember when I was a Christian and my wife and I, we were both coming to the Lord at this time in our lives. She thought I wanted to commit suicide. The poor woman had no idea what God was doing in me, and it scared her. And a lot of our world doesn't understand us. They look at us like we've got another head growing out the side of our neck. Because we don't think the way this world thinks. Because the old is gone and the new has come. And all of a sudden, this gift of life, this gift of love, this gift of peace and joy and hope changes us beyond being changed by anything that happens here on earth. Because whatever happens here on earth, it's temporary, isn't it? It's temporary. You lose a job, what happens? You go get another one. Well, except now. We just live on unemployment and the system, right? Yeah, they've changed things too. But the amazing thing, when we come to Christ, we live forever and we understand that. And we work towards that goal in everything that we do and all that we are. When I think about this new creation, I want you to understand something. It's being made new every day. Every day is a gift for me, and it should be a gift for each and every one of us. How many of you know what God's going to do with you tomorrow? Yeah, I didn't think so. And do you realize that's what your pastor does every day? I wake up wondering how I'm going to meet God today. What's he going to have me do today? And there are days that I'm disappointed because I just sit at my desk and do sermon study or Bible study for our Bible study time, and I feel like, I didn't do anything today. Lord, what was so special about today? And he says, did you invest some time with me today? Isn't that special enough? And then I got to think to myself, duh. Yeah, because without you, I'd have never done that. So you're showing me you, and I'm getting to invest in a love that I can only feel portions of here on this side of the grave because I'm still temporal and he's immortal. And the day will come when the mortal must put on immortality. And that day is coming, and each of us need to understand it. Our third scripture comes to us from the book of Ephesians. Please turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 4. Verses 21 through 23. verses 21 and 23. From the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, let us read these words. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and you have been renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. Isn't it amazing how we can walk in this world today and we can differentiate between lies and truth? How many of you, since you became a Christian, all of a sudden you have the gift, and this is a true gift, it's called the gift of discernment. And it is amazing to me because we can see that in one another. And it so amazes me because when we gather together, what begins to happen to the body of Christ? We can see things happening that we'd have never noticed before. Because when God opens our eyes, it's not just the eyes of our physical being, it's the eyes of our spirit. God sees all things. And it is amazing how he opens that up to each and every one of us. Now, do we get to see things the way God sees them? No, we don't. God sees everything. God does not allow us to see another person's thoughts or feelings. He sees them. He knows them. And in that I glory, because if that were the case, I would be a wretched man, because how many of us would utilize that to our own measures? Whether it be on purpose or not. And isn't that what our world does? If the world finds something out, isn't that what the world does? You and I need to understand, when someone comes to you, in fact, the scripture tells us, confess thy sins one to another. Does that mean we get to broadcast it? No, a gracious, precious thing has been entrusted to us. And that is one of the most amazing things, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to hurt people. I want to help people. And when somebody confides in me, as I have confided in Christ, and I know he tells no one, so too, I don't want to tell anybody. I want to walk with you and help you walk in that reality and walk out of some of that reality into the light of Jesus Christ. That's why we're different. That's why the world doesn't like us, because we want people to change. We know they can. Can I get an amen? And that's the truth of it. And our world doesn't want to hear it. In fact, there are places right now in our world where if you talk to someone of a certain persuasion and say, hey, there's help for you, you can be arrested for that. You can be held liable on criminal charges for that. That is just wrong. Because God has made us in such a way that each and every one of us can be changed to the grace and glory of his name, amen. And as we walk in this truth, there is so much for us to share, so much for us to give away on Christmas. And every day of the year should be Christmas in our lives, remembering the birth of our Savior. But in remembering the birth of our Savior, why did we partake of communion today? Because in remembering the birth of our Savior, we must also be reminded of his death, burial, and resurrection. Is that not the gospel of Jesus Christ? That he lived, he died, he rose again. And in his death, he died for our iniquities to pay our price that we could not pay. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is hope in the receiving and the believing on he who is the Christ. And as we give ourselves in such a way, we see this scripture working its way out in each of our lives, that God wants us to be that much more, that we lay aside the old self, which was being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and be renewed in the spirit of your, what? Mind. Man, he's got to change this thing. So God's giving us a gift. Did you catch it? It went from the heart to the mind. That's why pastors say, and many Christians will say, and I'm sure you've heard it out there on the internet too, people miss heaven by 18 inches. Because they either get it in their mind and not in their heart, or in their heart and not in their mind. The one is works-oriented, the other is faith-oriented. And we got to get them both together. The mind and the heart have to be working together. And that's what God gives us, a new heart and a new mind in Christ Jesus. But we have to train it up in that measure. We need to walk in the admonition of the Lord. And how do we do that? How will they know lest they hear? Isn't that what the scripture tells us? How will they know lest they hear? And how will they hear lest one is sent? Guess who he's sending? Yeah, I see heads nodding. Each and every one of you has been sent into this world. Now, does that mean you're going to go to Africa? I don't know. But I do know this. It means you're going to go into your life, wherever you are right now, and you are to share that light of Jesus Christ. If you know today, the Advent wreath is gone. Why? Because we have that perfected light in Christ Jesus. We still remember the hope. We remember the peace. We remember the love, and we remember the joy, because those candles are all there in the light of Christ. Those other lights were lesser lights. They were the prophecy. They were the hope of the things that were to come. We know He has come, so we have that greater light, which is Jesus Christ shining in our hearts on this Christmas day. And what a glory it is to us. And our last and final scripture for today is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I promised you all that I would actually have a short sermon today. How many of you thought I could actually do it? Last scripture for today. And everybody's thinking, yeah, we ain't done yet, Pastor. Colossians 1, 21 and 22. I love this scripture. From the 21st verse in the first chapter of the book of Colossians. And though you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If you indeed continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Each and every one of us has had that gospel proclaimed to us. And we are yet being transformed by it, for we're learning more each and every day. How many of you here come to the discipleship hour that we have? Because that is where true transformation takes place. It doesn't happen here during the service. Yes, I give you a little tidbit. You get a half hour, 40-minute sermon. But in our discipleship, we chew up the Word of God. We bring it into ourselves. We talk it amongst ourselves to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And is anyone's thoughts discredited? I'm looking to my teachers. No, because we are all students. We are all being taught. We are all coming to that place of being what? Holy and blameless and beyond reproach. In God's eyes, we already are. That's called sanctification. God has sanctified us, and He sees us at the end of time. He sees you. He sees me at the end of time, fully sanctified, fully holy, fully redeemed, fully changed, because He's in eternity waiting for that day. But we have to work our way through that. We have to grow through that. And each and every day that you and I invest in the Lord, even if it's 10 minutes a day, is some of the most valuable time that you can invest. Notice I didn't say spend, because when you spend something, it's gone. But when we invest in the kingdom of God, when we invest in our relationship, it pays eternal dividends. God's gift changes us from the very core. That's why the name of the sermon is what it is today. The gift that changes us. You know, I can think throughout my lifetime that I had several gifts given to me that truly did change my life. But none so profoundly as the gift of Jesus Christ. Can anybody else say amen to that? I think just about everybody here said amen or was nodding their heads. Because it's a truth. This world will change us. It makes us narcissistic. Turns us inward. Because the evil one of this world knows that if he can get us to pull away, he's got us. He has shut us down, and we are of no earthly or heavenly good. And we can do nothing and will do nothing in the kingdom of God. But we need to be extroverts. Now, for some of us out there, that's going to be a difficult thing. Believe it or not, I used to be an introvert. Many of you may have a hard time with that. I didn't, because I was in my own little world doing my own little thing and nothing else affected me. No, everything affected me. Because when you're an introvert, you take everything in and you let nothing out. And all that negativity that the world brings to us has a way of dragging each and every one of us down. But when Christ came, he said, take my burden, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then he also said, and cast all your cares upon me. And I did. And what happened? All of a sudden, this guy who thought more of himself than his own family, and my wife can attest to that, became a man who said, no, I need to give everything I have away. I need to give away my life. It's unexplainable. And how many of you, I'm looking at my congregation, how many of you are there? How many of you are working on that even now, that you understand you've got to give? It isn't that you feel that you have to, but you want to. Because you know what was given to you, and you can't just keep it in here. You've got to give it away. When we receive the gift of Jesus Christ, and this Sunday, this day, each of us here has received that gift. That gift, the gift of Christ, changes us beyond anything this world can understand, and it scares this world to death. Because to those who are perishing, we are the fragrance of death. But to those who are coming to life, we are the fragrance of life. Today, be a perfume unto the Lord. Take that fragrance of life out into this world. Share the light of Christ in you. Give that gift away. As you are sitting at your dinner table today, I pray that you will share the word of Jesus Christ with everyone around you. Even if they're already Christians, they're going to love to hear it. Just share how God has met you this day and how grateful you are for this day. That's all we need to do. Live our lives upright before the world in the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And he will change every circumstance that comes into your life and give us joy inexpressible. How many of you can literally tell me in words the true joy you have in your heart for knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? I can't do it because words don't suffice. I can talk about it, but I can't fully explain it. Why? Because you have to experience him. Can I get an amen? And when we experience him, that gift changes us forever. Amen and amen. And I'm 30 seconds to the end. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this Christmas day. I give you thanks for each and every individual that is here. For Lord God, we have heard you call our voices or call our names. and we speak from our voices the alleluia that you have called us. And we speak out into the darkness, and we ask that you would use the light within us, the Holy Spirit, to illuminate others, to bring that gift of Jesus Christ to them. May we share the gift that has changed us to the very core, and may we give the hope that is Christ Jesus, the peace that is Christ Jesus, the love that is Christ Jesus, and the joy that is Christ Jesus our Lord. In thy holy name, and the church says, and amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.